kick back and get raw with us.
From the latest hip hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of According to RP on WJMS Media, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host, and as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. Now, I was hoping to have left this corona business in 2021, but somehow it's, you know, percolated its way into 2022, and I am really, 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 really sad for some of you guys who had to ring in the new year with Omicron in tow. So many of my friends have caught the virus within the last 2 weeks, the last week, and rang in the new year with this bad boy. I'm really hoping, you know, one of my hopes and prayers for 2022 is that before summer, before, you know, Memorial Day, you know, gets here, I am praying that there is some sort of resolution to this virus. Now, is it going to be fully eradicated? Probably not. But I'm hoping that it gets to the point where it's just like the common cold. You get it, you get over it, and then that's it. I am praying that summer 2022, that, you know, we are not seeing influxes of corona, that we are not seeing hospitalizations. I am praying that, you know, we can be outside and maybe, you know, take the mask off a little bit, because time is of the essence. And I have wasted, you know, 2 summers of my life with this corona business, right? I am 38 years old. I cannot afford to lose another summer of my life. So for those of you who are currently battling the virus, my thoughts and prayers go to you. Drink some sea moss, drink some ginger tea, drink a lot of water, take some oregano oil, do some steaming. I mean, there are a lot of remedies, you know, even if you're vaccinated and whatnot. Like, there are a lot of remedies that you can do to kind of help ease the process. As somebody who has had it very badly, these remedies literally saved my life. So, you know, don't shy away from the remedies, guys. They're here for a reason. Nature's remedies have been, you know, helping our ancestors for God knows how many centuries, how do you say the 1,000 years? But you guys know what I mean. Forever, since the beginning of time. So, you know, take advantage of them. Either way, so New Year's this year was kind of low-key for many people, right? It was low-key for me. And I was looking through Instagram and everybody was, you know, throwing up memes saying how, you know, this year they're going to be in, you know, their robes. They're going to be hanging out on the couch. They're not turning up this year. They're turning on DJ Alexa Amazon and whatnot. And it's funny because as somebody who, I love New Year's Eve and I love spending it with family and friends. And I typically have a game night at my house to ring in the new year usually, right? Or I'm in church ringing in the New Year's and going to family's house. But as I'm getting older, and maybe this is just me, it might not be everybody else, but as I'm getting older, I look for moments of solitude. And so New Year's Eve is not really a big turn up for, it was never a turn up for me. My turn up was in church and my turn up was with my family, right? I have never spent New Year's in the club, in a lounge, at nobody's, you know, bashment, never in my life, ever in my life. But I, you know, I'm finding like this year it was very low key for me and I enjoyed it. I went to my mother's house. I was supposed to see her since last week. It didn't happen. So I was like, let me see her before the year is over. I went to go see my uncle who's living with my mother, and my brother. If I don't say my brother, he's going to be like, what about me? So I went to see my mom, my uncle, and my brother. And I took my son with me. We had a really good time. You know, it's always good when my brother's there because there's always jokes. There's always jokes. And a lot of times we have to band together against my mother because my mom, although she is a nice person, everybody, you know, people who know her loves her. But my mom is an interesting individual. And sometimes you will leave that house with your feelings hurt. Like you will. She always finds a way to get at us. And so me and my brother usually have to band together like against her. Because if not, like on our own, we're falling. She's catching us. On our own, we cannot stand on our own against my mother. So it's always a good time, though, to kind of go back and forth and banter with each other. For those of you who follow me on my personal Instagram, I definitely documented my experience at my mother's house in my stories. And I think I might have like a post on my actual feed. It's always a good time at my mom's house. But my brother has to be there, though, in order for it to be the best of times. But either way, that's what I did. I went to her house, you know, around maybe like 5 or 6, I think. And then I left around maybe close to 9 because I wanted to ring in New Year's in my house. I wanted to be in my comfy clothes. I wanted to catch church service on my TV. And I wanted to, you know, just be in my house with my cat for New Year. So that's what I did. Very, very low key. And to be quite honest, guys, next year, it might be the same situation. It might be the same movement. I might not even go see my mother. I might just be, you know, in the house with my cat. I don't know. Either way, I hope you all, you know, rang in the new year in the way that you wanted to, right? I think that's the most important. I hope that you guys rang in your New Year's the way you wanted to. And I hope that you started off the year the way you wanted to. Speaking about starting off the new year, so happy Independence Day to all of my Zoes out there, to all of my Haitians. January 1st is Haitian Independence Day. I have talked about this, I think, every January on this show, so I'm not going to get too much into it. If you want to hear history lessons about the Haitian Revolution, January 1st, Soup Jumu, I'll refer you to past episodes. I don't want to do this to my loyal ARP fans who every year have to go through this. But happy Haitian independence. I hope that all of my Zoes and those who are affiliated drank some Soup Jumu yesterday. I hope you guys did. This year, interestingly enough, I made my own Soup Jumu. I had all intentions of trick-or-treating. As I say, people trick-or-treat for candy. I trick-or-treat for Soup Jumu every year. I usually am going around collecting bowls of soup because I don't make it myself. But because of the Rona, things, you know, operations have slowed down a bit. Operations have slowed down. So, you know, I was not able to go around trick-or-treating like I normally do. In fact, I was actually even trying to set up the pickups and the drop-offs from like the day or two before. Like, shout out to my girl, Nadej Fleurimont. I had hit her up and I was like, yo, are you making soup? Unfortunately, I was not able to pick it up from her. Like, she had all intentions, you know, she actually had an event or some Soup Jumu pickup drop off situation. I feel like I was the big supporter of this. I feel like I'm the one that drove her to do it. And I unfortunately wasn't able to go pick up the soup. I had some home situations that happened, so I wasn't able to go get the soup. So I low-key feel bad because I'm like, I feel like I'm the one who pushed her to do this, and I wasn't even able to get it. But either way, my lovely aunt brought me some soup. We were in conversations from beforehand because, again, I do this every year. I secure where is the soup coming from because I'm not making it. So she brought me some soup. It was amazing. I had my other aunt too, who was actually trying to drop off soup, but it was like in the middle of the debacle that was going on. So I couldn't, respond to her, but she was going to bring me some soup. But I actually ended up making soup. I made Soup Jumu and I posted it again in my stories. I did make Soup Jumu yesterday. I had no intentions of doing it, guys, but I was like, you know what? Because of everything that was going on yesterday, I wasn't 100% sure if I was going to get the soup. So I was like, I'm not going to allow January 1st, Haitian Independence, to go by without me drinking any soup. So I actually got the ingredients and I made my soup. I made a vegan soup. I still have some in my refrigerator. I made it yesterday. So those of you who are in the area, and are in need of some vegan soup. I have some still left over because it was a big pot and it's only me. But I made the soup yesterday and it's delicious. It is absolutely delicious. So now moving forward, I think I'm just going to just rely on my own skills instead of putting all this energy and effort into securing bowls of soup. So I give myself a round of applause for self-sufficiency, as this is what I'm trying to move into for 2022. I've always been a self-sufficient person, but I feel like I need to be more self-sufficient because I am a single Black woman, and you really, it's not that you can't rely on people, but sometimes it's like you just want to do things for yourself. If I was married, if I had a man, then it would be like, okay, fine. You know, you put some burdens on them. But I'm single, and so I have to really operate as such. And so I need to really just do things on my own. So I will be making soup probably forever now, moving forward. And so for those of you who are always looking for a soup, a vegan soup connection, which again, I was where you guys were, I can now be your vegan soup connection. Either way, we have an amazing show today. I know I went on and on and on today, but we have an amazing show today. One of our repeat guests are going to be on. I'm not going to say his or her name because I need you guys to keep it locked to find out who it's going to be. But we have a repeat guest, a favorite, I would say. You guys love this person. They're going to be the guest. We're going to talk about a couple of things that were kind of going down in the interwebs this week. We have a couple of things that were going down in the interwebs, so we're going to get into it. But before we do that, it is now time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
It's on fleek.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Pop it on fleek. Is it lit?
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week is green flag. So we often talk about red flags, right? We're always talking about red flags. In fact, there was like a red flag challenge this year, I think. There definitely was a challenge because little red flags, I don't know who started this, how it started, but there was definitely this like wave of like red flag posts, you know, over the last several months. But this is about the green flags. So Urban Dictionary defines green flag as a green flag is the direct opposite of a red flag. Okay, who'd have thunk it? You know those things we know at the start of a relationship we avoid. Typically, red flags are not as desirable as green flags, considering green flags are often mature, responsible, honest, virtuous, and socially acceptable. But green flags are often not as desirable as red flags because they have nothing to fix. Okay. People prize generally effed up people who have mommy and daddy issues, usually a drug problem, unemployed, or typically someone who wouldn't want to bring home. Let me correct this. Or typically someone who you wouldn't want to bring home or have a child with. Ooh, they're getting in. They're going in on this comment. Okay. Example. Wow, what a catch. He's got a career and his own home. What? He also has a relationship with his family and he can keep plants alive. Those are all green flags. You should let him knock you up. Interesting. Well, it wouldn't be Urban Dictionary if it didn't have some salacious qualities to it. Either way, green flags, guys, 2022, it's green flags only, okay? Green flags only, guys. And we need to do a better job of bigging up green flags. I totally agree with some of the commentary in this Urban Dictionary word or phrase, right? I feel like as a society, we love to point out the red flags. We love to focus on red flags, and we love people who give us red flags. And we need to take a stand against the red flags and say no more. Now, I can, you know, I'm adamant about this. And as you can hear in the hypeness of my voice, I'm adamant about this because I am somebody who does identify red flags in people, but for whatever reason, I do not, like, I still will, like, stick around, and I still will sit here and doubt myself, like, well, is it a red flag, Rita? Maybe it's not a red flag. Okay, it's a red flag, but maybe, you know, like, we do this. Like, just as the song said, when I was in elementary school, green means go, yellow means wait, red means stop before it's too late. We need to, like, the red flag is there. It says stop. It says stop. You know, don't, like, it says stop. And we don't stop. And I'm in 2022, and I've talked to my therapist, you know, about this, because yes, I'm in therapy because I am trying to be the best version of myself. A lot of times we think we know it all. And a lot of times our friends don't always catch or point out some of our inconsistencies. And it's good to have a third party neutral to kind of say, Rita, you might want to, you know. So, you know, I'm always going to big up therapy here, because I really do think that, especially as Black people who have undergone so much trauma, it's important to be cognizant and aware of our issues so we can communicate better with each other, so we can do better with each other and for ourselves. We need to treat ourselves better. A lot of us don't really love ourselves so much because, you know, we were really effed up as kids, you know? So either way, that's a tangent. Back to red flags. No more red flags, guys. If you see something, say something. Like, that's kind of where I am right now. 2022, green flags. We're praising the green flags. Does he have a job? Praise Jesus. You know, is he somebody you can take home to mommy, to daddy, or whatever? Is he free from mommy and daddy issues? That is a green flag. We need to praise that. You know, is he attentive? Is he anti-stonewalling? Is he somebody who is not a stonewaller? We need to stay away from individuals who are toxic. Is he not toxic? That is a green flag. Let me say she, because I don't want this to sound one-sided. Is she not toxic? Because there's a lot of toxic women out there, a lot of toxic females out there, a lot of trash people out there. But either way, we need to really praise the green flaggers, right? If we need to really focus and highlight green flags. We can't always spend so much energy on the negative, you know, people in our lives, and then allow these negative people to thrive in our garden, right? Like, we can't do that anymore. So I approve this green flag definition, because, you know, Urban Dictionary is janky at times. You never know. You never know what you're going to get with some of these definitions. But I approve this one. And I think it's positive going into 2022, being the first Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week. I think that we are setting the tone. We are setting the tone. So good job, whoever submitted this Urban Dictionary word or phrase. And I definitely will be implementing this. And I hope you guys do too. It is now time for the Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. So this week's Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week is soubjoumou. So what is soubjoumou? Because a lot of you guys who are affiliated with Haitians or have Haitian friends, you guys were seeing soubjoumou all over your timelines on Facebook, in, you know, social, you know, all sorts of social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok. Soubjoumou was all over the place. And some of you really don't know what soubjoumou is. So soubjoumou is squash soup. I know some of you guys call it pumpkin soup, but it's squash soup, guys. It's squash. That's what it is that's in soubjoumou. Haitians go crazy for this every year. It's our freedom soup, right? And again, I will give you a brief definition or a brief history lesson. I don't want to do this to my OG According to RP fans, where I go into this long history lesson. But essentially, really briefly, you know, Haiti, we were enslaved by the French and them, right? And so the French every, you know, January 1st would make these hearty, hearty soups in, you know, celebration for the new year. They had their bread. They had these very, very thick soups. The enslaved Africans, unfortunately, you know, made soup as well, but with the scraps, the leftover scraps. So their soups were very, very light and faint. So when the Haitians won the independence in 1804, right? When we had our official independence in 1804, it was declared and decreed throughout the land that we will drink soup, and it won't be any soup. It will be the thickest soup you will come across. And so hence why soup jumu is mad thick. And so the contents of soup jumu is squash, right? That's why it's so thick. It's squash. Some people use butternut squash. I forgot what the other squash is. I just know what it looks like. I don't know what the name of it is. So we use squash. We, you know, those of you who eat meat, we put meat in it. So like, you know, chicken, turkey, or beef or goat, depending. There's macaroni that's in the soup, rigatoni specifically. There's potatoes, there's carrots. Some people put leeks, there's celery stock. What else? There's a whole bunch of vegetables that go into it that make it a hearty, thick soup. Now, with all that being said, Haitians, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you with this one. Haitians, my people, we need to do better. I understand that the times are evolving and some of us are wanting to get creative with the, you know, traditional soup jumu, but there is a limit to the creativity. Yesterday, I saw something that was very disturbing. I saw a soup jumu with tuna in it. What the hell, people? Our ancestors did not fight and did not risk their lives for you to be putting tuna in soup jumu. Like, what is that? I don't even know what to say. Like, you don't put tuna in soup jumu. That is not, no. No, literally, I literally was like, I heard Dessalines like turning in his grave yesterday when I saw this. This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And please stop it. Many of you think it's bad enough that there's already a vegan soup. But I say to you that, you know what? There's nothing wrong with a vegan soup. It still tastes hearty. It still tastes good. It still has the elements. It just doesn't have the meat. But tuna? You're trying to make pescatarian soup jumu? I don't think so. This needs to stop. This needs to stop. This needs to stop. People have already been questioning the use of spaghetti nimewo rit in soup jumu, but I'm okay with that. And spaghetti nimewo rit, for those of you who don't understand, you know, the Baroli boxes of spaghetti, they have like numbers for thickness, right? So there's like number 7, number 8. For whatever reason, Haitians are obsessed with spaghetti number 8. I don't know if it's, I guess the size is perfect, but I grew up calling it spaghetti nimewo rit. Nimewo rit means number 8. People have been questioning the use of spaghetti in soup jumu, but it's been happening for years, so it's no longer a controversial issue. Macaroni is what you put, rigatoni specifically is what you put in the soup jumu. However, there has been spaghetti added as well. I don't have an issue with that. But the issue, the only issue with adding spaghetti to your soup jumu is that it becomes spaghetti. It doesn't become soup anymore, because if you add too much spaghetti and then you add macaroni, it's like a pasta salad, right? It's no longer a soup. So you got to be careful with that. But either way, I gave you the essentials of the soup. We have amazing, you know, chefs among us that have posted videos about how they make their soup. If you're interested, get on YouTube. You'll learn how to make it there. But soup jumu is the Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. So it is now time for the big up of the week. Watch it. And you can big up, all of the woman them big up, all of the girl them big up, all of the woman them big up, what? So this week's big up of the week goes to Ariane Long. She is the owner operator of Femly, which is an organic black owned company. And it basically provides super absorbent pads that are long and inclusive. So it's a black owned feminine hygiene company. But the reason that Ariane is the big up of the week is because she recently created a contactless feminine hygiene dispenser. And many of you may be wondering, what's the big deal? It's a big deal. it is a big deal. And I love to see innovative ventures from our Black women. And so I encourage all of you guys to follow Femly, F-E-M-L-Y, and to, you know, purchase from them. I didn't know that they existed, so I'm definitely going to check them out. I'm definitely going to maybe purchase, you know, instead of purchasing from Always, I think I'm going to start purchasing some pads from, from Femly. But I'm really happy to learn more and more about these feminine hygiene companies, especially those that are geared toward Black people, because, you know, we have all these, you know, unfortunate issues. And it's lovely to see how our women are finding solutions to our problems. So big up to you, Ariane Long. Keep up the good work. And I look forward to seeing what else she comes up with. So now, with every high, guys, you know there is a low. And this week's low goes to Marjorie Taylor Greene. She is the womp womp of the week. And so many of you who are Twitter heads already know about this story. But essentially, Marjorie Taylor Greene is the woman who called Kwanzaa a fake religion. I think you guys might have heard about this, right? So essentially, this all took place around December 26th when this conservative group called College Republicans tweeted on December 26th, wishing everyone a happy Kwanzaa. Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene then, and she's from Georgia, she responded to this tweet saying Kwanzaa is a fake religion, and she accused the group of pandering for votes. She said Kwanzaa is a fake religion created by a psychopath. So, you know, I always go back and forth about talking about these things because I feel like you're giving these racists a platform sometimes when you even acknowledge these situations, because it's like, really, ma'am, what are you doing here? Kwanzaa is a fake religion. First of all, Kwanzaa is not a religion. It's a cultural holiday celebrated by African Americans, because to be very honest, as somebody who grew up Caribbean, Haitian especially, I didn't know what the hell a Kwanzaa was. They didn't celebrate Kwanzaa, at least in my mother's time in Haiti. I don't know if they do that now, but Kwanzaa was not really something that was celebrated amongst the Caribbeans. We didn't know what this was. This is an American thing. But either way, I have embraced Kwanzaa. I love the idea of Kwanzaa. I love the unity that it brings. I would say that I would love the gift-giving process, but nobody tends to follow the gift-giving process. That has to be another show. Next year, Kwanzaa, I'm going to need to get gifts for every day of the Kwanzaa people. Like, I don't understand. People give gifts for Christmas, but nobody wants to give gifts during Kwanzaa. Is it because Kwanzaa is more than one day and you don't want to come out of pocket for more than one day? Like, I did not receive any Kwanzaa gifts this year, guys. What is happening? But either way, she's the womp womp of the week, because at the end of the day, even if Kwanzaa was a religion, like do some research. Google is accessible for everybody. Get on Google and maybe do a little research before you come out and speak against a cultural holiday that's been celebrated for decades now. Like, what are we doing? A part of me feels like she was just trying to get some recognition. You know, maybe nobody was talking about her for a little while and she needed to kind of, you know, get her name out there. And unfortunately, it's sad that people oftentimes will resort to, you know, negative press, right? Like, they don't care if it's negative or positive. Like, they just want their name out there, and they'll resort to doing craziness just to get their name out there, even if it's negative. And I'm wondering if that's what was going on with her. Either way, update, her Twitter account has been suspended. So there we go. Either way, guys, I know this was a long intro, but it's the new year and I had a lot of things to say. So with that being said, we are on to the meat of the show. All right, everyone, I'm here with my very special guest, but no stranger to the ARP stage, Jessica Rose Sinatus. Jessica, say hello.
My whole entire government.
I mean, you put it on the screen, so that's why I'm like
there. I am Jessica Rose. Hi, people. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Jess. What's going on?
Oh, that life, time is passing us by faster than we can ever have expected. So we're just living, you know?
Well, how was your new year?
It was good. Quiet.
Okay.
Quiet, you know? You know, the variant is out.
Omicron Omarion, yes.
Omarion is out. He doesn't like that, but hey, Omarion is out. I don't even know the real name anymore.
Omicron. It's Omicron.
Omicron. I might say Omarion a couple of times.
No, I mean, I say it in work meetings. Like, I can't say Omicron. Like, I say Omarion and I'm in a work meeting. So at this point, they know what I'm talking about.
Omicron is out. Mm-hmm. And everyone is still out.
Right, in these streets. Wild.
In these streets. Child.
Well, how'd you ring in New Year's though? Like, did you do anything special? Were you with friends, family, or was it you yourself on the couch?
I was at home cleaning up a storm. I have people in my family who are sick, friends who are sick. So more than likely, I was like, I'm not really going to see anyone. But my good sister friend was over. So we actually ringed in the new year with prayer.
Amen.
Had Hallelujah. A good prayer segment, you know, told the Lord, manifested all that I needed for the year 2022. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And that's kind of how I rang it in, you know. And it's a good way to start, you know, with, you know, good aspirations, hopes, with goals and visions. And, you know, I'm looking forward to new things in 2022.
All right. Right. I mean, same here. I was really low key this year. I went to see my mom. I had no intentions of seeing my mother on New Year's Eve, but because I couldn't get it together to see her prior to, because, you know, with COVID testing and then having to wait for the test to come back to be negative and then to go, that kind of delayed the process for me to go see my mom. Plus my son is here. So I wanted to make sure that he went over there to go see my mom. So finally though, you know, we got our test results back. Like it was like Thursday morning. By that time it was like, we'll go see her on Friday. So I spent a couple of hours there, but I refused to actually open the new year over there. I wanted to be in my house. So I went there, I spent, you know, brought a little cake, brought some Haitian patties, brought some, you know, apple cider. So we did a little something. And then I came
home. How about
home.
The chocolate?
I did bring them chocolate. I had my chocolate earlier in the day and I had an extra in the refrigerator. Okay. But I did bring them chocolate so that they could eat it the next morning with the patties and
brought the
bread. So I set them up for New Year's is what I did.
You're such a good Haitian daughter. Listen, you're a good Haitian daughter.
I set them up for New Year's, you know? And so I came home and I attended CCC at first online, but they not ringing in New Year's with people. They're bringing you to a certain level. And then they're like, the last 2 hours, y'all got y'all on your own. So I think by like 10:30, 10:45, like they were like, all right, thank you guys for tuning in. That was it. So then I had put out an APB on Facebook earlier in the day, like, guys, I need recommendations for a good church service. Where can I get I need a good one too. Like I emphasize quality. Don't give me links to like someone's basement church. I said I needed a good service. So
not a Zoom, right? We don't want any Zoom.
Right. I don't want no basement church. I don't want nothing like that. I want a real praise because I felt like, you know, God has brought us through so much. I mean, 2020, you know, whatever. 2021 was just a repeat almost of 2020. And I'm like, I feel it in my bones. Prosperity is coming. And I needed a service that was going to just remind me that God is good, that 2020 is going to be the year despite, you know, all the negativity of the years prior. Like, I needed that rejuvenation. So one of my friends, Christine, shout out to Christine, she sent me a link and she was like, this is highly recommended.
Oh my God, what was it?
It was FCBCNYC Church. I don't know what it stands for.
But it stands for, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what it stands for, but it was YouTube. And let me tell you, the service, like, you know, back in the day when we used to have our New Year's Eve, like, extravaganzas, there was one that we sang at in Harlem. I think it was at, is it? not Emmanuel Church.
It was Ephesus.
Ephesus. Remember that night?
We did a praise night at Ephesus. Right. Yes.
So it reminded me of that praise night. Like the praise team was on point. They were singing songs from like back in the day. Like, you know, the gospel of now is cool, but you know, the real choir songs are from like the late 90s, 2000s, right?
Is that still up? Can I watch it?
I think the link is still up. I'm going to send it to you. Girl, I was rejuvenated. I was blessed. I was singing along. Like, I think I had like, did a story of me like singing along to one of the praise. Like, yo, it was amazing.
Oh my God.
I'll send you the link. I should still be up. But either way, that's what I went home for. I went home to watch my praise and worship, not Biraka SDA, like my mother was like. She was watching. You know, back in the day in the Haitian churches, where they used to do the témoignage. Like, yes. When I went there, there was like five different témoignages, how IRS almost got me, and, you know, now things are, I was like, there's a time and place for that. And you know, I remember those days I paid my dues. Now that I'm older, I wanted to choose my worship. So I came home. And so that's how I rang it in. I rang it in. I had my wine. I had my cat, you know, and we were good. And then Saturday morning was Sabbath. So I caught, first I went to CWC.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the praise team was okay, but it wasn't, you know, what I'm used to. So then I took myself to Kingsborough. It's been a while. And the Kingsborough, they were good. They were amazing.
The praise of worship never fails at Kingsborough.
Yeah. It never fails. You know. And they have a new pastor now. So they installed a new pastor. You know, the sermon was
good. I was watching.
I liked it. We'll see what happens. But, you know, it was a good first impression, at least for me. So, you know. Listen, people are listening. Like, are you guys judging the man? Yes, we're judging. I'm judging the man of the cloth, because sometimes my thing is that, you know, I like to get a good word. And I think it's okay to say that sometimes certain preachers don't resonate with you. It's not horrible. It's just that for you, they don't move you, and they might move somebody else. So I'm very particular about who I listen to, because I need a word. I need to be moved. That's why I'm here.
So one of the preachers that I was listening to yesterday, actually, because it was Sabbath for us, I was actually going back and forth with, you know, Pastor Johnson, of course, because you want that Haitian feel for the
Caesar,
new year, you know.
The one that yells? Caesar Johnson?
Of course, let him yell. Let him yell. But there are blessings in the yelling, okay?
No, he's good. It's just that because he yells, and it's like that voice, I can't hear. Like, I can't even make out some of the things. So I'm not getting the blessing because I don't know what you're saying half the time.
When we were younger and Pastor Johnson first came out, I think we were just like, who, the pastor that yells? That was our first tidbit, right? When we were younger, mm-hmm. and he was in Brooklyn and he was preaching around, right?
Right.
This is years ago, before who he is now. Mm-hmm. We just knew him as a pastor who yells.
That yells, okay? Yes. Him and Jonio.
But now that I'm older, this is not an SDA podcast, by the way. But now that I'm older and I was able to hear him and see beyond him, right? And the blessing and the anointing that's there, Rita, it took me to a whole other place. So I was just listening to Pastor Johnson. I got to get my blessing there. And it came back to me, Shekinah. You know, Shekinah is this very big ministry. Yeah. They have their radio station and stuff. So a lot of patrons are listening to them. I've done a 40-day with Shekinah before, like probably prior to COVID. And I'm like, hey, I just clicked on yesterday, and I'm telling you, the first thing, one of the things that really honed to me was that he said, when someone is looking for to break through yokes and you're looking for anointing, the first step is getting a spiritual father. Mm. I went to Shekinah. Okay. Amazing. I have to finish listening to some of, he did like a 12 day before like New Year's type of thing. So I'm still listening there because I'm late. But definitely, I think this year it's about, you know, Michael Todd is always my go-to for teaching.
Oh, I love Michael Todd. You know who put me on Michael Todd? Your sister, Becky. Shout out to your sister, Becky. She put me, because there was a time that I felt like I was like drowning. She put me on Michael Todd. She put me on Darius Daniels.
Yes.
There's another one.
I put her on the Darius Daniels. She's not going to admit it, but I put her on. Okay.
Okay, cool. So that's good. That's good. I feel like we are both on the same page. We came into the new year with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
With the Lord. Hallelujah. But I'm going to look into that, like the spiritual father thing. And I do want to give Pastor Caesar Johnson a real chance, because when I was younger, though, I did enjoy him for whatever reason, but I could not. I'm just weird like that. I like accents, sounds, like I just can't get past certain things. There are certain pastors I just can't listen to them because it's that trembling, like Timmy Daw. Oh my gosh, the yelling. I cannot deal with TW Ministry sometimes because of that.
Well, he doesn't jump like Timmy Daw.
Oh, he doesn't. But it's that grr in his voice that kills me. So, but one of my friends, a really good friend of mine who I actually need to check up on, she was going through some stuff and we were randomly talking and she was like, Rita, I did like a thing, like I think it was doing a Karen Drew, a 40 day or whatever with Caesar Johnson. She said, doors open. I bought a new home. My business did this, that. Like,
hallelujah.
Like, change. She's like, Rita, give the man a chance. I'm like, well, I need to pray to the Holy Spirit because his voice, I cannot deal with his voice. I can't even hear the message because he's screaming too loud. So I got to pray about it. I got to pray on it. I'm very technical like that. Like I can't listen to certain sounds, like, but I'm going to pray on it. But either way, we spent like God knows how many minutes talking about, but you know what? I don't even feel bad because we're talking about God.
Hallelujah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to limit myself. I'm not going to, we're talking about God. I have to give him his due because this year I'm looking for breakthroughs. I'm looking for, you know, elevation. And so if that means he gets some time on my podcast, then I got to give him
hallelujah
podcast. But moving along. Important question. Did you drink Soup Jumu this year?
Okay. Two-phase question, right?
Wow. It was one question, but okay.
Okay. It still is one question. Two-phase answer, okay? Now, I ordered Soup Jumu, okay?
Okay.
I'm not going to say the name of my house, but it's actually a well-known, like, caterer in kind of like a Haitian community making some soup, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna order. But it was coming to Brooklyn, so I live in Jersey. I had to like deliver it to my cousin's house. I was too tired to pick up soup, but it's waiting for me. But here's the funny part. So me and my sister friend were like, how are we not gonna have soup, Jumu, on New Year's, right? And it's like, so it's dead Saturday morning, and we're just sitting there looking at each other. I had Haitian bread, I had patties, I had hot chocolate. But I didn't have any Soup Jumu. So let me tell you how the Holy Spirit works. Ready? I had a box of squash.
Oh my God.
Like squash soup that I had bought. Mm-hmm. Organic, everything, whatever. I took the herb with each other. I took it. We revamped it. I added whatever meat I had. I added this, that. Girl, it was so good, but I couldn't post it because they wouldn't know.
It wasn't authentic.
The Soup Jumu police would have came after
you. Yes, they would have come after you, yes.
But it tastes like Soup Jumu.
But it was actually squash that you used, though, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so then, that's the main ingredient. That's what makes it Jumu.
So I'm okay, right? I didn't get disowned.
No, you're okay. You're not disowned. Because you know what? I think the ancestors would have appreciated the effort that you put in, because you turned water into wine. And I think the ancestors were like, she found some Jumu, she found some espagueti.
Exactly.
She found a little meat. Matter of fact, they were like, yo, she's doing what we had to do before the independence, when they had to pick up the scraps to make the soup. So they're like,
she's before the macaroni. Right. You know, there was no macaroni in 18.
There was no rigatoni macaroni at that time, right? So you actually recreated the night before independence. Yeah.
There you go.
There you go, sis. I would not be ashamed of your reenactment soup.
You would have loved it. Actually, I'm gonna send you a picture later.
Yes.
But it was a 9 out of 10.
Okay. And listen, and that is really saying a lot, because, you know, we've for the longest time, you know, because we've been ringing New Year's in the church for so many years, that we've been getting 5 out of 10 soups for a long time. We've been getting 5 out of 10 soups for a long time. So this is...
I think the best sushumu soups are at funerals, but that's another question. That's another topic.
That is true, actually. I don't know if it's the budget from the life insurance.
But those are the best. But I don't care what no one says.
That is the best. It's the best chocolate you're going to get. It's the best.
Tijanjam.
These are so ginger tea, cinnamon tea. Those are the best teas you're going to get. The best quality patties are at funerals.
And I am
almost certain that it's because some of the life insurance money kicked in for the funeral services. So they're like, why not get the best of the best? Why not? It's not a struggle.
Oh my gosh, we're going to hell.
It's part of the package. But either way, okay. So I drank soup. So I do this thing every year where I start lining up the soup, you know, the soup spots, the drop-offs, pickups from even like a week before, because I already know it's coming. A trick or treat, I do my thing. But because of COVID, I know it's going to be different, right? So I already started setting it up. Like I hit up my aunt. I'm like, yo, you making soup? You dropping off in Brooklyn? She was like, all right, I got you. I had another friend who I hit up who I said this earlier that I kind of felt bad because I think she kind of did this whole thing for me and I wasn't even able to go pick it up from her. She did it for a whole bunch of people. So it's not just me, but she hit me up like, hey, where are you? And I was like, cause I was hitting her up like, yo, where the soup at? Are you making vegan soup? Like I was going in and I didn't even get a chance to go pick up the soup. So midway through the day, I was like, you know what, Rita? My aunt said she's coming with the soup, but sometimes you just don't know if something happens. I cannot not drink soup on January 1st. So I went and I got all the fresh ingredients and I made myself a banging pot of soup jumu. Vegan too. I use vegan butter, like vegan, 100% vegan soup. Like this is probably one of the best soups I have even tasted. And I am a soup jumu connoisseur. I used the pima. Thank God I still had ippies. My friend's mom makes ippies. Shout out to Ida and Company. I will send you the link. So she makes good ippies. So I still had a little leftover and I put that in my soup jumu. But it was amazing. So that's kind of how I did mine. So my question though to you, and this has been a debate forever. How many days can you drink soup jumu? Like how many days do you plan once you get your shipment? How many days are you planning to drink the soup jumu? Because right now, like, soup jumu is breakfast, lunch, and dinner today. Nothing else is being eaten in this house.
As long as it lasts. Soup jumu is my favorite. I can eat it all day long, 365, if you gave it to me right.
But with the shipment that you're going to get, like...
As long as it lasts.
Okay. So you...
And I'm going to make it last.
So you're that type of person, day five, you're still drinking soup.
Yes, I'm going to add some hot water, add some more spices. I'm going to make sure the colors stay well. I'm going to make sure, you know, it gets pressed, you know, it gets really thick. Yeah, so you're going to make sure, I'm going to stretch it out. I'm going to add some more spices.
Oh my gosh. You know,
I'm going to stretch it out because it is sushumu.
All right. So you are those people that we talk about where it's like after day five, it's like, no, you need to throw it out. It's time for
guilty.
Time to go.
Okay. Guilty.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, guilty as charged, ma'am.
Well, moving along. So there's so many. So you know, this episode is you know, New Year, same gimmicks, right? The gimmicks are still the same. The gimmicks are still the same, and I think I talked about this on another platform where you know everybody has this New Year's resolution thing where I'm like, oh, New Year, but we do the same thing every single year, and after a while, it's like we got to get over the gimmick. So speaking of. The gimmick. This is a new one for me. I have never heard anybody talk about dry January. I know January, everybody wants to start a Daniel's fast. That I'm familiar with. I'm familiar with that gimmick. Mm-hmm. But dry January, I have never heard of it before. So one of my friends hit me up and she's like, yo, I'm doing dry January. And I was like, what's that? She's like, no alcohol. And I'm like, whoa. Because, you know, this particular friend, I know she goes in. And so, and then another friend that's going to be joining in also goes in. So I was like, is this a thing? So I said, I'll join in too. I mean, I'm a social drinker, but when I go out, like I will drink, you know, that's just, you know, it is what it is. Like, I like me a lychee martini. One of my it's become a recent thing of mine, is lychee martini. Either way, so I went on Instagram earlier today, and then this whole, like, there was a whole post about dry January and how, you know, people are going to be doing it. So, I mean, first of all, have you heard of dry January? And if so, are you partaking in dry January?
I recently heard about dry January. I think about a couple of days ago, really, when people started posting about it on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's so cool, as I sip my wine. That is awesome. Bottle number two. Okay. It's cool. I will not be partaking. I'll probably find some time within the year that I'll do it, but it won't be in January. You got to get through the new year, right?
That's what I was thinking. Like, when I signed up for this, I was like, Rita, what are you thinking? Because, like, you know, you need to toast the new year.
Cheers.
It's still a holiday season, right? You know, like, what are you doing? But I said I was going to do it because I feel like, you know, why not, right? It is a gimmick. Don't get me. It is a gimmick. It's another gimmick holiday or gimmick thing. Not holiday, but gimmick thing. But I'm like, challenge. You know what? Yeah, it's a challenge, right? Like, might as well. Like, let's see. And it's funny, though, because I also, as I was scrolling Instagram today, Bow Wow apparently put out a statement that he is not drinking ever again. So he's taking this dry January thing seriously. He's doing dry forever. Like, I'm not drinking alcohol at all, at all, at all. Let's see. Let's see what happens, right? I mean,
and did he give any reason as to why he came to this grand decision?
He didn't give a reason. At least
no sperm count is down.
I don't know, girl. I don't know. I mean, I don't think he has an issue there. He has a couple kids.
No, but now it's down because after drinking for so long.
Girl, I don't
know. And smoking. You know what happened to Ray J? You know Ray J, when you remember that Love & Hip Hop? Ray J had to go on a little cream to have some babies because he was the problem too.
Wow. I don't know if Bow Wow is concerned about his sperm count. I think that he has two or three kids out. I think he has two kids out there. He has two kids. He has like a boy, I think, and a girl. No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like
that. I think
so,
yes.
Yeah, so he has two kids out there. I don't think he's concerned about a sperm count right now because he's trying to be out here in the streets. I don't think he's trying to be Future and have like 10 baby mamas. I think he's like, listen, you know. All right. So it looks no dry January for you is what it looks like.
All right. Saying,
no problem. Oh,
wow. What January?
what dry January? I got you. I got you, sis. I got you. All right. So, you know, I guess I was going to talk about Betty White now, but since we're talking about alcohol, real quick, did you peep the CNN New Year's Eve turn up?
No.
Oh my gosh, I should have sent it to you beforehand. Listen,
that's one where Andy was there, right?
Yo, yes, your boy Andy Cohen and your boy Don Lemon were cutting it up. Like, it was like CNN anchors gone wild. Like, I loved it. It was amazing. I always liked Andy Cohen, but Andy Cohen on drugs, on alcohol is like another.
He sounded like he has COVID. I don't know why nobody picked that.
I mean, his voice. But then again, they were outside, though. So I think it might have been just being outside in the cold.
That was a stretch. Like, nah.
COVID?
Oh, I was like, I'm waiting for the headlines.
You think it was COVID?
I said, that's that COVID voice.
I mean, he did have a, like, his voice was gone, but I think deep. It was from, I think it was because he was probably yelling and cutting up on, like, the debauchery was real.
But how, my thing is, all that's going on, why? I know.
Why do they have a whole NYE?
Why? And then you're going to sit there and put all those numbers on the screen afterward,
right,
and not give your own stats. Like, right. That's ridiculous.
Is CNN about to give us the update while they were out there cutting up? I mean, Don Lemon, I think, was in New Orleans cutting up. But there was a black woman that was on the float that she declared, I guess, for 2022, no more broke. Right, and then he was just like, what? And she was like, no more being with a man that has no money.
Yes.
I mean, listen, I can't say that that's not a mantra for us.
Snaps for her.
Like, sis was lit, but she was a prophet that night. She was a prophet that night. She was definitely a prophet.
Invite her to the church service.
Listen, Right. Let her give her some time on the pulpit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But Andy killed me, though, with his de Blasio rant. I know that he spoke for many New Yorkers, if not most New Yorkers, that we are happy that the de Blasio era is over. I just hope that Eric Adams does not fall into the same trap of the de Blasio debauchery, because we can't him being gone. Thank you, Jesus. I have never been a de Blasio supporter. I think my ARP fans know that that's true. Is he the worst mayor New York has seen? I'm not sure if he's the worst. I'd have to go back and really look, you know, I'm not that old. Right. So I don't know if he's the worst.
I can only go as far back as Giuliani.
Right.
Is the furthest back I can remember. Right. Not that old.
I don't know. But either way. So Betty White, RIP to Betty White. I love the Golden Girls when I was growing up.
Thank you for being a friend.
Listen, that song right there, that anthem, listen.
Man, Betty.
But I remember when Blanche died. I can't remember exactly when, but I do remember when I had heard that she died. And I remember feeling sad because I loved Blanche. But then when Betty, when I heard about
it was
Betty,
just different.
I don't know. Betty, she was like America's sweetheart. We all loved Betty. She was the most aloof of all of them. Mm-hmm. And I loved her.
Very aloof.
You know, she's 99. She was going to be turning 100 in just 2 weeks. So she was mm-hmm. so excited. I was watching some of the posts and reading some of the tweets on how she's so happy to be turning 100. And then bam.
They killed her.
Listen, 2021 was like, nah, we need one more body to be complete. We need one more body.
Now. Well, think about it. Like, they really were just posting about her about to hit 100. Like,
right.
All the posts were out. They were planning the party.
The party was planned.
And now they have to use that party for a repass.
For her funeral, yes. For her funeral. That party is going to be her repass. Now, again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I be in these conspiracy theory streets. And I have I got family members who are part of these streets, who are in tune with, you know, what's happening on the underground, right? Three sub-levels. You know, what a district. If you guys are Hunger Games fans, these people are in District 13. You know what I mean? Like, in the sub-level. And so there's a lot of talk about what is untimely death of Betty White, because even though she was 99 years old, she was out here in these streets. Like, she was lively. She wasn't frail. Apparently, our dear sister, Betty White, took the booster.
Allegedly.
Thank you for throwing it out. Because I don't need nobody coming after me as if I'm speaking the law. Allegedly. Our sister, Betty White, had taken her booster shot on December 28th. Again, these dates are from the underground District 13.
Okay? The underground nurses who gave administered the booster.
Here's the thing, though. It's not wild to know, people post things on Instagram and on social media. So it's not hard to know when people do things because everybody plays out their life on social media.
Did she post and like, oh, got my booster today?
I don't know if she did. I didn't do that. That
they took it down in time.
They might have done that too. But either way, those who were on it, I identified that she had taken a booster on December 28th.
Okay.
And then next thing we know, Betty is gone.
Which day did she die? Which day was it? 31st?
Yeah, December 31st. She died on the last day of the year. So now I'm on, what is this, Hollywood Insider?
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that the cause of death has now been revealed. It appears to be natural cause of death with no evidence of foul play. You know, when people hear that, they're like, there's foul play.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be foul play. It's not foul play like somebody killed her, like she was murdered, somebody mm-hmm. poisoned her. But natural cause of death, I don't think people are buying it.
They're not buying it.
But apparently the streets are saying that she took the booster and on the 28th, and then on the 31st, she's gone.
She's gone.
Mercy.
I mean, it's sad. At the end of the day, she was 99 years old, right? So this type of controversy is not really that earth-shattering for most people because she's 99. I pray to God every day that I can see 99 years old. Like that's
me
my,
too.
That's actually my exact year, you know. I'm like, God, at least let me see 99. After that, do what you want.
You don't even need to see the 100.
I don't need to see the 100. I'm not going to be greedy. Give me the 99. Ooh. Give me the 99. But, you know, RIP to her. I loved her. I loved the Golden Girls. You know, I think she lived a full life, even though, you know, we were hoping that she could have, she was so happy about that milestone. But, you know, it is what it is. Everything happens for a reason. God give it and he take it away. Even if it was the booster. You know what I'm saying? So, even if it was the booster.
It's not me.
I'm talking about the streets. This is what the streets are saying.
No comment on the booster. Oh my gosh.
I'm just saying, this is what the streets are saying. I'm not in healthcare, so I don't have to abide by some of these things, you know. So I can say what I gotta say. This is what the streets are saying. I didn't do the investigation work, guys. The streets did. I'm just passing.
No comment, but I will say that there are many people who are vaccinated and boosted and still COVID positive with symptoms.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that, you know, at the end of the day, though, the makers of the vaccine never said that you wouldn't catch it, right? They never said that you wouldn't catch it.
But you're having the same symptoms that somebody who's not vaccinated.
No comment. Yeah, so-
I was just saying, like, It don't look any different.
You know, things that make you go, I don't know. So the last thing I wanted to talk about is the recent viralness of Tammy Roman. So for those of you who are not sure who Tammy Roman is, Tammy Roman is an icon in this reality streets, right? She was, I mean, I first knew her from Basketball Wives. She was, I forgot who the husband was, but she, you know, was a Basketball Wife, and she's been in that Basketball Wives network for God knows how long. Right. And then, so recently, I think she's on the Real Housewives, not Real Housewives, Jesus, the Real, the Real World Homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's been viral these last couple of years with her little bonnet diaries or whatever that she has, like these bonnet stories.
Mm-hmm. Bonnet Chronicles.
There you go. Bonnet Chronicles. But as of lately, she's become another viral sensation based on this interaction she had with her coworkers. So apparently, co-host is a better, better term. They were talking, I guess, about how somebody had called somebody the N-word, but instead of saying the N-word, they actually said the word. Sounds like wigger, add an N to it. You know what I mean? So they actually said the word, the whole word.
A very crispy white man.
Like he was
from the South.
Pale, blonde hair, blonde everything, like eyebrows blonde.
And he's from the South.
Yes, wearing a baseball cap, yes. You know, white. So he's like, well, that's what they called my friend. And he kept saying, and she was like, you cannot say that. Like, I'm not saying you can't, like, tell us the story, but you could have said they said the N-word. You didn't have to say the word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another woman, I think by the name of Beth Barrera, I think, Carnes, she's a Latina, she jumps in, and to make matters worse, she made matters worse by saying, you can't say, and then she said the whole N-word, you can't say the N-word, like, you can't say wigger with an N, like, you can't say that.
Like, you don't know what it's like to be, as if she was included.
To be an N-word, but instead of saying N-word, she said the full word. And so Tammy is like, you can't say that either, Latina. So this Tammy Roman viralness has brought back this like controversial topic that's been going on for a while, like since Gina Rodriguez. I don't know if you remember Gina Rodriguez. She was the main star of Jane the Virgin. So
no, not really.
Yeah, she's been in a couple other things.
Mm-hmm.
She's been in a couple other things. But a little while ago, she also underwent scrutiny because she was saying the N-word. Like she was singing songs on, like, you know, Instagram, TikTok, actually saying the N-word. She was just using the N-word as if, you know, she was Black, right? And I think she's made it clear that she does not consider herself a Black Latina. She doesn't consider herself Afro-Latina. So it's one thing if you're Afro-Latina and you're like, well, I'm Black too, so it's whatever, right? she had made it very clear that she was not Afro-Latina. So now she's out here using the N-word like it's nobody.
National television.
Right. So people were jumping on her. A lot of people canceled her. A lot of people, like, they came at her, but then it brought up this discussion of Latin individuals, Latinos, Latinas, non-Black identifying individuals using the N-word as a term of endearment. And so when Tammy Roman came out and shut these people down, like, a lot of people, like,
there was
mixed reviews. They're like, oh, but the Latino woman, but the Latino woman, I know you saw her image. This woman, I don't know if she identifies as Afro-Latina, but there was nothing Afro-Latina about her. Just from viewing her. But again, I don't know if she identifies as that. But I mean, what are your thoughts about individuals who are not black identifying, using the N-word? Because I've seen with my own eyes, like, you know, like Latina people say using the N-word, like, yo, my N. And then in the same breath we'll be like, I know Black eyed Dominican. I'm not black. I'm my ancestors, you know, came from Spain. My great grandmother has blue eyes and blonde hair. Like, we've been through that. So what are your thoughts on that?
It's like everybody wants to dip in the sauce, you know, when it's like with chicken nuggets, you could dip the sauce. But if it's for any other reason, you don't want to be a part of the sauce, you know? And I think Latinas, all right, especially a lot of those who are non, you know, Black Latinas, especially, or the Black Latinas who don't even think they're Black, you know, like the DR. You know, we're Haitian, so you see them DR all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So I just think, let's be very educated this year. Like, don't do that again, guys. We don't have the time for it. We as African Americans should be, or, you know, of the Black descent, let's stay away from that word too. I know we say it, sometimes it slips out because we're so accustomed to it. It's in our music, it's in our culture. We're so accustomed to using it, but you got to show people how to treat you, right? You got to show people how to treat you. So for us, it's like, let's all, like, do better this year. Make conscious efforts.
I was going to ask about that, because a lot of individuals are like, there are people who are like, well, Black people shouldn't use it either. I had a friend of mine, you actually know this friend. She was like, I don't really care. Nobody is calling me the N-word. I don't care if it's for endearment. I don't care. And when you used to, like, you know, slip up and say, yo, you know, do not address me as such. Like, she was not playing games, but she was consistent with it though. It never came out her mouth. And she never, you know, she didn't tolerate people calling her that. And I get it. And as somebody who is a Black professional, you know, I find that sometimes we are the most ratchet. But I try, like, it's like a different persona almost, like, when you get into that, like, ratchetry, you know, when you're just like, yo, my, like, I can't.
That word just come out. It's like with the accent. It just comes with the accent.
With an accent. With an accent that you didn't even know you possessed.
You'd be like, please. Like,
right.
Come out.
Right. I know. It happens. And so I do hear what you're saying in terms of doing better, but some people might say, like, what do you mean do better? Like, it's our word to use. We're taking the power behind it. You know, we're giving it a new definition. It's a term of endearment if you're Black. Like, we're taking the power back from the white man.
No, it's like that movie where, what was that movie? Like, Fat Girls with a PH? No. like you went fat became pH fat, like all these different. No, they're still talking about big girls, all right, and they're still calling us fat. Let's stop it. Like it doesn't. And like now that we're more aware and we see how, like you have to, like I said again, like you have to teach people how to treat you. And I guess it's just like now I have to come out of the term of the BITCH term, right? Like, you know, the please, like you got to come out of that now. Like I'm like, and I guess if you're watching certain shows, like there was a time when I stopped watching Nothing Hip Hop. Mm-hmm. I stopped watching certain shows because the language, the culture, like right. It became part of your notion, right? Like how you wanted to dress, how you, what would you perceive from men? All these things became, because it now became to your subconscious that this was normal, right?
Right.
And this is something you should achieve. So I'm like, now I'm like, I got to stop watching certain shows now. Because now, whether I realize it or not, these words are slipping out of my mouth.
Right. Right. They are.
And I'm like, and yeah. And so now I have to be careful. And so, you know, for the N-word, we got to be careful. Because I used to date this guy who had no problem saying it all the time. And guess who started saying it too? Me. Because I was always hearing it. It became a part of the vocabulary. I'm like, but since when you started saying that word? Like, you know, like that, right? So it's something that you definitely have. It's just like our kids will model us. So if they don't know all the history behind it, they're saying it. And not knowing what it means, you know, it really is going to be a problem for the future. Especially if we're trying to do Black excellence and we're trying to promote all these other things, we have to move forward.
You saying you can't be excellent and not use the N? You can't be excellent if you use the N-word?
No, we're not being excellent using that word. That's like, not...
I'm trying to elevate you, Ma.
Nah, there's no excellent in that one. Okay. You know, I'm gonna go with my Israelite brothers and sisters at that point, or my Muslim brothers and sisters. We're gonna do a little bit better.
But the hoteps be using it too, though. I hear some of these Israelites. I hear, like, and that's the thing. Like when they really, it's like, you know what? They'll do their best, just like everybody. They'll do their best. But if you try them. Yo,
don't come out
real quick.
Because you acting like one. Because now you acting like one.
Now I gotta treat you like one. Oh man, I don't know. But so in 2022, we're not. So in 2022, we not doing that. We not watching Love and Hip Hop. We're not.
When I watch Love and Hip Hop, I'm just saying like I'm not gonna watch as much of it. The first is not out like that anyway. But I haven't really watched it. But the reunion, I wanted to see. The Christmas, like the family reunion one, I wanted to see. But what I'm saying is that just getting to a better sense of culture for ourselves, right? The noise. I want to do better in 2022.
So are you saying that reality TV culture is not part of Black culture? Because some people will say that that's part of Black culture now, this reality
TV. It sure is. That's how I find out what's going on in the world.
Right.
It's through, you know, Black culture. Like, I got it. But I think... Like, okay, I was looking at Shawnee O'Neal, not to go off topic. Shawnee O'Neal is now engaged. Do you see the engagement to Pastor Keon?
Yeah, I saw that girl.
So I had this conversation with some of my girls. It was like, you know, Shawnee about to be first lady. She can't be putting out.
Oh, basketball. The basketball wives. I'm like, so wait a minute. So her.
I'm not saying she will or won't, but like, I'm just saying.
How could she? How could
you have first to change lady? It? You got to change that up, okay? Because you cannot promote First Lady. Well, not saying that these churches are ratchet anyway, but you can't promote, you know, sisterhood, women of virtue, and then you're putting out loving basketball wives where they're bullying one another, they're talked down to one another. Maybe one episode is of you know, Kumbaya, but we can't do that again.
I mean,
we can't do that.
I mean, is this pastor that she's about to marry, does he have coins? Because I'm trying to understand how she's blocking, like how she's, you know, blocking her money like that.
Well, her money's already in rotation. Like, I'm pretty like.
But she's going to have to stop, though. She's going to have to stop Basketball Wives.
Well, she has a dispensary and other things. We're not going to talk about what that means. But mm-hmm. She has a couple other things in the notion. So I'm not going to say weed is, if it's legally being done, it's a little different, you know.
It's medicinal.
Yeah, she has some other stuff that she has rolling, okay. Right? So, okay. So, and yeah, and I think I don't think all the kids are 18, so she'll always be probably getting something from Shaq.
But I have a question, though. I mean, I know weed is medicinal, but what is the church's position on marijuana? what is the church's position on marijuana?
Well, it's not an SDA church.
I'm saying the church in general, like the church of God, the church of
using the herbs of the ground for healing. That's the position.
Okay, Pastor. I mean, I'm just hoping that this doesn't become another Megan Good and Devon, you know, whatever.
I already thought about that. And I'm like, I don't know. However, I don't know what Shawna got in mind or Keon got in mind. But however, all I know is that she can't be putting out. What is it?
Toxic stuff. It's toxic. I'm not gonna lie. It's toxic. Do we eat it up? Very toxic. But it's toxic stuff. I'm not gonna lie. I watch it sometimes. I don't watch Love and Hip Hop and the basketballs, but you know, Instagram gives me like the short clips of the housewives. Like, I love the housewives, right? And it's a toxic show that I need to slowly pull away from because I'm trying to have a better life. But I mean, it is what it is. So yeah, I mean, okay, well, congratulations to her. And I hope that, you know, she can find godly ways to make her money.
The preacher's wife. Maybe they could come up with another show like that one.
Hopefully.
Wives.
She's talented. Maybe she could pitch a reality First Ladies of California.
Exactly.
First Ladies of Los Angeles. Listen, I want the credit, yes. Shawnee. If you're tuning in, Shawnee, I want credit for this. You heard it here first on According to RP, First Ladies of Los Angeles.
Bam. I like it. I like it. So, yeah, but 2022, let's do better.
Okay. No gimmicks,
as a culture. No gimmicks. Okay. As a culture, let's do better. And as a people, let's do better. All right. And Latinas, non-Blacks, please. Again, you might not get much passes in 2022. Stop using the word.
Or else we're going to get Tammy Roman on you because she's not playing games.
She about to fight on that show with that bonnet on her head.
Listen, Tammy is not playing games. Keep.
She said, and you don't use either. And you don't use it either. And you know, Tammy likes to fight. She had a whole bag of fighting.
She likes to fight. Keep the N-word out of your mouth is essentially what we're saying, guys, in 2022 and beyond. Keep the N-word out of your mouth. And Black people, I guess, let's do better. I cannot say for 100% that I'm going to be on that. I'm not going to say.
Me either.
We fall down and we get up, and I will be. I will probably fall down.
I'm going to fall down too, of course.
I will fall down seven times over. But but we're trying, and that's what accountability is for, Jessica. So if you see something, say something. You know what I'm saying?
If you hear something.
If you hear something, say something. If you see something, say something. Oh, man. All right. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for being, you know, our on call, like literally stand by. Like I was like, yo, Jessica. She was like, yep. Thank you for being a guest on this show today.
Anytime.
The people love you. I got a lot of feedback about you as well, too. They were like, yo, we love her. Her energy is so high. She's so funny. So like I said, you'll definitely be more regular on the show as the year goes on. But thank you for being here for the first episode of 2022.
All right. Thank you, guys. Right. Rita, best of wishes on the new year. Okay.
Thank you. And with that being said, everyone, thank you for tuning in to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Media, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I will talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday. Can't wait to come back.